Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. AJ's in for Brian. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Who are we tipping a hat to today? This is, I thought about this. This is the time whenever we could actually do shout-out radio. We don't do shout-out radio, but we do hat-tip radio. And if you're giving a hat tip out to somebody, it could be a way of kind of a roundabout way of shout-out radio. Like this one from Alex. Alex says, hat tip to my daughter's 12U softball team. Went 2-0 in league play, 5-1 overall. Hashtag quack 'em.
Quack 'em.
See? Look at Alex recircumventing the rules. Like, he's hat-tipping his daughter and indirectly/directly giving his daughter's team a shout-out.
I like that. Good call.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like he outsmarted us, though, Alex did. So,
then it worked.
But I'm torn now.
I just like saying quack 'em, so.
Hashtag quack 'em. Yeah. They must be the Ducks, right?
Yes.
What else could they be?
I don't know. What else would they be, Jeremy? They're
Isn't
Ducks.
Isn't there a college basketball team named the Quakers? I want to say it's Penn, isn't it? Penn Quakers?
Maybe.
Do they say quack 'em?
Probably not. Maybe they say quake 'em?
Like the Aggies say gig 'em? The Longhorns say hook 'em? Red Raiders say wreck 'em? Bears say sick 'em? The Baylor Bears say sick 'em? I don't know what the TCU says. We say go Cougs. So, the Quakers could say quake 'em.
They could, yeah.
Yeah. So, what else could they be for the Quake? Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. Who are you tipping your cap to today? 713-780-3776. Let's start with the American hockey team.
Let's go.
The first gold, Joe, since 1980. This was the first Olympic gold for the Americans since the Miracle on Ice and Herb Brooks getting it done. I was watching the broadcast, too, and unless I read this wrong, this is the first time that America has beat Canada in the Olympics since pros have been allowed to play?
That sounds correct.
Yeah, so cat tip to the Americans. Here's how it sounded on NBC. Kenny Albert on the call.
And it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes puts it around the car. United States with numbers. Back across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it! The golden goal for the United States! For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold! Jack Hughes beating Jordan Binnington!
Tip your cap.
Americans. Absolutely.
Getting it done. Jack Hughes the hero with half a tooth and all. Bloody lip. Getting it done. America.
It was awesome. It was a great game. Want to hat tip them, too, for what they did after the game.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Bringing on Johnny Gaudreau's kids onto the ice, who was killed by a drunk driver 2 years ago, I think it was. That was a really cool moment to see that happen. So, like, it's awesome to win the gold, but to remember a teammate in that way and let those kids have that moment when they don't have their dad, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool. Family was emotional. His father and mother were there, his wife, the kids. That was a great touch. Here was the CBC call as the Americans beat Canada. This, of course, from Canadian TV. Here's how it sounded like north of the border.
Now Werenski shuts it ahead. Almost turned over. Now almost a 3-on-1. Back was McKinnon in front. Shot scores. Jack Hughes has won it.
I don't know the name of this broadcaster. I thought he nailed the call, though.
Yeah.
He also went over a minute without saying a word, which to me it's not because he was like sad and distraught. It's just because it was a TV call and he was letting the pictures and the moment and the video tell the story. I thought it was a great call. I thought it was a 10 out of 10 by the CBC fella.
Very good. Albert laid out for a long time, too.
Yeah, they were both very good. Both great call. They both nailed the call. Whenever I went in, because it was like on Awful Announcing, I think it was. Whenever I clicked on the link, I was like, I wonder how sad and like, you know,
he's going to be and whatever. Like, you could hear a little bit of sadness in the voice, like when he made the goal, but then he just gets out of the way, lets the, you know, the music play, the celebration, the production's cutting to, like, all the scenes. They're cutting to the sadness of the Canadian fans. They're cutting to the sadness of the Canadian players. For a losing call, I thought it was phenomenal, quite frankly.
It's not what you expect to hear.
No.
You expect to hear sadness.
Yeah, and you can hear a little bit of sadness in the goal scored. But I would expect it to. Like, there should be. Like, he's calling it for Canada.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like, it's even, you know, because you still have to meet the moment, right? Like, you obviously know this as someone that does play-by-play. You still have to meet the moment for everything. And I think they did, so it was a great call. I agree. It was a fun game. I love the 3-on-3. I don't love that they use 3-on-3 in metal games. Like in the NHL, they don't use it in the playoffs. They go back to 5-on-5 in overtime.
Do they play 5-on-5 for the entire overtime period?
Yes.
Until there's a winner?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think there should be 3-on-3.
Yeah, 3-on-3 in a metal game is a little strange to me. I get why they do it. Especially, you know, like it's incredible that they brought the players back. I'm glad we had NHL players back, and I think it adds to the excitement of it and why people are, you know, over the moon about just what they watched this weekend. I'm really curious now what happens with Sidney Crosby getting hurt, if there is a reaction to it. I saw a bunch of Canadians be like, well, we didn't know Sidney Crosby took 3-on-3. It happens. Like, injuries happen, but it's not great for the NHL when a player gets hurt. But when you allow it, it's also the reality of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on the 3-on-3, though. I don't think they should I think it should be 5-on-5 for the entire overtime period for the medal rounds. Like, you want to do pool play 3-on-3? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That makes sense, but yeah, not a fan of that. Anyway, whatever. Tip the cap to Arizona beating Houston. You gotta give due where due is deserved. They were the better team on Saturday. You tip the cap there. I don't know how to say this guy's name from the Big Bang Theory. I think he played like Rahish or whatever his name is. His real name is Kenyon Nayar. This is cool. He uses GoFundMe to just like anonymously pay medical bills for families. He used to make $1 million per episode on Big Bang. He said, quote, money has given me greater freedom, and the greatest gift is the ability to give back, change people's lives. We also support animal charities because we love dogs. What I really love to do is go on GoFundMe at night, just pay random families medical bills. That's my mask thing to do. So, no, money doesn't feel like a burden. It feels like a grace from the universe.
That's very cool.
Unbelievable.
Very cool. That's a good way to use your money.
What a guy.
Yeah. That's very,
that's
very
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, I want to buy that guy a cold beer. That's really cool. And then last week, Two Taco Tim for pulling Crossfire whenever I had no idea what I was talking about. So you're talking about Crossfire. I don't know how he got that with the information I gave him, but Two Taco Tim nailed it, and we tipped the cap to Two Taco Tim. Junkie wants you to go – this junkie text. Joe, gum play rugby, greater Alvin area, we need bodies, Division IV beer league.
Okay.
Go play.
All right.
Go play.
Send me a DM on Twitter. I'll play.
Will you go play with him?
Yeah.
That'll be fun. You ever play rugby before?
Yes. Do you not listen to me at all?
No.
We had this conversation last week.
I'm sorry.
I talked about how I played hooker in college.
Oh, yeah. I remember that part.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I played college rugby. Yes.
Was it like intramurals, brother?
No,
or like organized?
No. We played like Notre Dame and Purdue.
You played Notre Dame in rugby?
Yes.
How bad did you get beat?
We beat them.
You beat Notre Dame rugby. Like, they're a legitimate team.
Well, it's club, but like, yes.
Club rugby. Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Well, there's not like D1 rugby at the time. It's changed a lot since then.
I got you.
But now, Purdue beat us by like a lot.
Okay, there you go. Team Canada hockey, says somebody. I don't know why they're tipping their cap at Team Canada. Maybe because they lost,
they
I guess.
Won. I mean, they tried hard.
Yeah, they gave a good effort. Seemed like they had fun. Junkie says hat tip to Brian for a good show Saturday. Another junkie hat tip to this producer. He seems to be very professional and no interruptions so far.
Uh-huh.
Hat tip to Houston last weekend. U of H basketball, baseball, Dynamo game at home, and UFC fight night at Toyota was going down in the H. Saw Sean Strickland had some things to say. Is TCU Crocom? Jasper says, would TCU be Frog'em? Speaking of which, does that A&M's Gig'em is directly aimed at the Horned Frogs? No, it's not directly aimed at the Corn Frogs. I don't know what TCU's thing is. They might just say Go Frogs.
I think
they say Go Frogs.
I think I like Crocom, though.
Crocom's pretty good.
Crocom's good. I'm just going to start
saying
it.
I think they just say Go Frogs. Joe and Magnolia, tip of the cap to my daughter and the rest of Magnolia NJROTC unit for winning state this past Saturday to go on to the Nationals in Pensacola next month. Congratulations. That's awesome. Congratulations to the Magnolia NJROTC. That's real cool. Isn't Sidney Crosby like 50 years old? Didn't know he was still in the league.
He's older. He's old.
Okay, but he's not older than 50.
No, but he's not. Well, he's like, but like, he's old for hockey or for any professional sport. He's 30.
He's been around forever, huh? How old do these hockey players play?
You might have a couple that, and you, it's not different than like that different than like the NBA. You have a couple guys that kind of hang on okay. for a while.
I got you. Tip of the cap to my daughter who stole my birthday today, fair and square. Dun, 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 dun. Can't wait. Can't wait for the band Twitcher to pull Joe George's rugby stats. Do they exist on the internet?
I don't think so. I don't think we kept stats like that.
Man. Key from L.A. hat tip to my son. He had eye surgery on both eyes. The bravest kid I know. Yeah, Godspeed to him, Key from L.A. Yeah, hopefully he's doing well in his recovery, and we wish him well in that recovery. All right, moving on. 713-780-ESPN. What are the Texans to do at running back? That seems to be the question. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Yes, Jasper, that's incorrect. What are the Texans to do at running back? Currently, Woody Marks on the team. Joe Mixon's still on the team, actually. He's under contract for $10 million next year. They can get out of it, save $8 million. I was looking at these running back tiers, Joe. Like, I wonder how many free agent running backs are actually going to get there. We saw the Cowboys locked up Javonte Williams, so he's going to be there. Breece Hall, top running back, according to The Athletic. Kenneth Walker, second. Travis Etienne is third. Some of the contracts, though, like Breece Hall, 4 years, $54 million. You paying him that? I have a difficult time seeing the Texans paying Breece Hall that much money. Kenneth Walker's 4 years, $52 million, so right there with Breece Hall, a couple million dollars less. Etienne's 3 years, $37.5 million. Do these players get tagged? Do these players get signed by their own team before they even hit free agency? I wonder there. I also think that there still might be a path that Joe Mixon's on this team. Now, it would require for him to be healthy, right? Like, the Texans would have to see him running around and have 100%, like, good bill of health for him in order to, like, still be on this team next year. But I'm curious, and you know how I feel about this. I would like to sign a rookie. I would like to draft a rookie mid-rounds to pair with Woody Marks. I would like to sign a veteran on a one-year deal, the best veteran I can find on a one-year deal for somewhere around $5, $7 million. I wonder if they just think that's Joe Mixon. ESPN also had like these tier of free agencies. They have franchise players. They don't have any running backs listed as available franchise player running backs in free agency. Breece Hall they have as a Pro Bowl caliber starter, which they project him to make $12 to $15 million per year. Their tier three, they have capable starters, which that's where they have Travis Etienne, Kenneth Walker. They list that between $8 to $12 million a year. And then they have borderline starters, high end backups. Tyler Allgeier from Atlanta, J.K. Dobbins, Rico Dowdle, Kenneth Gainwell, Brian Robinson Jr., Rashad White, James Garner, Aaron Jones, potential cap casualties. And they list that between $3 to $7 million. So if you could sign one free agent running back, which caliber or which tier here are you going with? You're going tier two, $12-15 million, which is only Breece Hall. Tier three, which is somewhere between 8 to 12 with Etienne, Kenneth Walker. Or are you going to go bargain bin 3 to 7 on this tier four, borderline starters, high end backups?
I'm going borderline starter, tier four. I just, to me, this roster, you have to fix the offensive line first. That's where the money has to go, because if you sign, you know, Breece Hall could be fun. I don't disagree with that. But you move on from Mixon, you bring in Breece Hall. Yeah, you're only, you know, the cost there is only, you know, $5-6 million probably per year, but you have him long term. It's fun. But if you're not going to protect for him, I just don't know what it looks like. And maybe I do. Like, maybe we do know. It's not going to go well. So I can't invest that much into running back with where this roster is at today. It just, there's too much need elsewhere. So I agree with you. Veteran plus a running back in the draft, you know, plus Woody Marks, you're good to go for next season. So if I have one guy that I can sign this offseason, I'm going to bet on what I saw from his rookie year in Atlanta. I'm taking Tyler Allgeier. That, to me, is the guy that I'm in on this offseason, because we saw him do it already in the NFL. And the only reason why he hasn't done it since is because of who's on his roster, which is arguably one of the best players in the NFL with Bijan Robinson. So I'm all in on Allgeier being the guy you bring in free agency, pairing with Woody Marks, maybe Jadarian Price or something else like that in the draft, and you're good to go at running back.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate the idea of Allgeier. I don't think that's – I'd be intrigued by it. I will agree with you. Like, he has shown it in the NFL – kind of got out-recruited with Bijan Robinson. So he's, and even with Bijan Robinson, he was still getting some carries and being very effective with those carries. I'm with you in that I don't want to shop in the top two tiers because of the finances and the resources. I want to be focused on the offensive line with those resources. So I'm actually with you on the tier four. The two things that I would just throw out there for, like, the sake of conversation, what if Joe Mixon actually is healthy? Like, I know we don't believe that, and, like, there's mystery surrounding it. But if Joe Mixon's actually healthy, is it worth just keeping Joe Mixon on the final year of his contract worth $10 million, which you can only save $8 million if you were to cut him?
I'm not opposed to the idea. But as Nick Caserio has said multiple times now, they still have to see him. So, like, I don't get how that hasn't happened yet. And maybe it has now. I feel like there's enough good reporters around the Texans that if Joe Mixon had come to Houston to get evaluated by the team, we would have some inkling of that, maybe when Nick
Caserio. If the reporters were so good, how come we don't know what happened to Joe Mixon?
That's true. That's a good counter, but no one knows anywhere. So it's not like they got beat on that story. Now, maybe Nick Caserio will shed some light when he meets with the media at the Combine. I can't remember if it's tomorrow or Wednesday. But until he actually shows up and works out for them and gets evaluated by their medical staff, I just have to assume he's not an option. If he does, I think I'd still rather save the money, Jeremy. I think I'd still rather cut him. It's at $8 million they save?
Yeah, you would save $8. But the problem is that if you sign one of these tier four running backs at $7 million and you're saving $8, you're basically paying them an extra $2 million, right?
Yeah.
Because you're saving $2 million by getting rid of Mixon. Let's say you sign Allgeier for $7 million a year, you're paying him $9 now.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why if Joe Mixon's 100% healthy, which, again, is a long shot, I understand that, and you have to, like, you know, have a good idea that he is 100% healthy and needs to clear all those hurdles, that I actually see a path to Joe Mixon staying on this football team.
I do, too.
Now, it would require him to be 100% healthy, which, at the moment, based on the information we have, feels like a long shot because he didn't play at all last year, had a season-ending injury. We don't even know what it was.
Yeah, and The Athletic, in their story, has Allgeier – look, as a $5.25 million for a year. That's his projected contract.
So you'd basically pay him $7.2 million because you would be repurposing the savings you get.
Yeah. So, like, if he's healthy, it's just – it feels like such a long shot at this point. Based on the way the Texans handled it, it's hard for me to even really, like, comprehend the idea of it. Now, if they do
– I flipped those numbers, by the way. It's $8 million in savings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you it's $2 million in dead money, $8 million in cap savings. So $8 of the $10 million that he is owed, you would recoup.
Gotcha.
Which is way better.
Way better. Now, if you were to keep Mixon and Woody Marks, I think then it's clear you definitely can take a running back in the second round. Like, if you were to sign Allgeier or Gainwell or one of these guys, I would tend to lean towards, I don't want to see the Texans take a running back in the second round. Then I'm thinking, push that into the third or into the fourth. So it's the only round difference, but it changes your market from your Jonah Coleman's and these guys who are at the moment being projected to go in the second round. But yeah, if Mixon's fully healthy, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, but you have to be 100% sure.
And the thing is, too, is can you be 100% sure? Because we don't know what the injury was.
Well, they do. They're privy to it. So, like, we're not privy to. We have no idea. They are, though. So, that would be the path. It's like, we want to spend all our money on offensive line. Even if we, you know, if we cut Joe Mixon, we're saving $8 million, but not 10, which he's owed. So, we're going to have to repurpose that money back into another running back so you can kind of bake in that $2 million into the running back that you're signing because you're spending all your savings there. It depends on the health of Mixon. The name from Tier 4, I like Algier. Algier is a name that I'd be interesting in. Another one that I would throw out there, kind of in the same idea as Algier, like somebody who has proven it before but kind of got like out-recruited and like didn't have the usage that he once did. I am intrigued by Rashad White.
I like him too.
Ran for almost 1,000 yards in 23. He's a guy who catches the ball out of the backfield. Has had at least 40 catches in all four of his seasons, has had 50 catches in three of the four, even had a 64-catch season in 2023. Like, I would like him with the, you know, he, Woody Marks, running back you draft. I think that would be a fun room, too.
Yeah, I like that one, too. And if I was going to go down a tier to their fifth tier, I mean, he's coming off an Achilles injury, so it's got to be as cheap of a contract as possible. But their tier five on ESPN is backups. Likely to net guaranteed money. You could talk me into Najee Harris if the evaluation is good on where he's at. Now, coincidentally, like today, there is a video of him running on a treadmill. He's only going 15 miles an hour, so he's not sprinting or anything like that. But Najee's one guy you could talk me into for a very low, you know, $2 to $3 million guaranteed contract. That's it. But I think that, you know, what you said about Rashad White, it's catching the ball to the backfield because that's not Woody Mark's strength. You don't know what's going to be on there.
People would say that Woody caught 100 passes at Mississippi State.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't see that last year. Did you?
I think it might be a little bit of scheme. I think it might be a little bit of Stroud. And I also think his college catching numbers are skewed because he was playing running back for Mike Leach.
Yeah. So that's why Gainwell and Rashad White checked that box a little bit more. So now you have, you know, more of a downhill runner in Woody Marks. You have a guy who can definitely catch out of the backfield than either Gainwell or Rashad White. So, like, those are like Gainwell, White, and Algier are the three that I would be most intrigued by in the offseason.
Yeah. Rico Dowdle, another junkie, says you're cutting into Cal's barbecue budget. Ha ha. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll take your thoughts on this. Also, coming up next, biggest NFL stories of the combine. I'm going to dip out here early a little bit. I'm going to head over to Allen Fieldhouse. The boys, Joe and Age, will take you the rest of the way. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You got to get out to Federal American Grill. I wish I was going over to Federal American Grill. Still some time to take advantage of that social hour every day at Federal American Grill, 3 to 7 p.m. social hour for you. Enjoy $10 appetizers, handcrafted drink specials. I just pulled up the social hour because I'm jealous that all of you can go and I cannot. They got Smirnoff Martinis, Maker Mark's Old Fashions for you, Strawberry Lemon Drop, Pierre B's Knees. That sounds good. You're hungry. How about some cheeseburger egg rolls, the burger sliders, Gardner Parker's Chicken Wings, fried green tomatoes, bang, bang, shrimp, so much. That's only half of it. I didn't even get through the whole menu. So much to have over there at Federal American Grill for their social hour. You're going to love it. World-class whiskey, world-class bourbon selections for you, perfect for unwinding after work or just kicking off a great night. It's perfect to just get out of traffic. You probably can see one of the Federal American Grill locations right now, downtown Hedwig Village, Katy, Shepherd, one up in my neck of the woods in the Woodlands. You're in traffic, you see a Federal American Grill. What sounds more appetizing? These $10 appetizers, world-class whiskey, bourbon, cocktail selections, or sticking in traffic? You already know the answer to that, so go do it. Also, we're always looking for places to have lunch, right? Need a quick lunch. We're hungry. We got to get back to work. We'll order online at Federal American Grill. Order your lunch. Everything on the menu is fantastic, and you're going to be satisfied. Don't forget to join Club Fed for rewards, perks, and exclusive offers. Federal American Grill, River Oaks location coming soon too, but order online, stop by for social hour, thefederalgrill.com, where you need to go to order that lunch, thefederalgrill.com, or just take out whenever you're going home. You don't want to cook tonight. Thefederalgrill.com to take advantage of that. Federal American Grill, where precision cooking meets quality ingredients and a tribute to American cuisine.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, Joe and AJ, rest of the show. Jeremy left me. Ryan's not here. But I got AJ, so we're all good. The Athletic put out a story. There's one hot topic for every team at the 2026 NFL Combine. Quarterback contracts, Travis Kelce's future. We know this is kind of the time of the year. Like, the combine's fun for some people. I don't necessarily get it. I don't know how you feel, AJ. I know the numbers do matter. I still struggle at times to figure out like what matters the most. Like, yeah, I care about the 40 time for wide receivers and corners, but I also don't really care until the player gets drafted by the team I'm talking about.
Right.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter to me what a player does on Thursday and Friday. No, it matters what they did on Thursday and Friday when in April they get drafted by the Texans. You know, what they how much they benched, things like that. But even then, like, we see guys put up bad numbers at the combine. Guys put up great numbers and they rise, they fall, whatever. But the combine's really where the NFL season kicks off. We haven't had much movement. We have the Rico Dowdle contract we talked about a little bit earlier. Obviously, Tyreek Hill's been cut this offseason. Bradley Chubb has been cut this offseason. Like, those are the big moves. But this is when we see real trade conversation, real rumors start, because all 32 GMs are there. A lot of the head coaches are there. Nick Caserio will meet with the media this week. I don't think D'Amico Ryans will meet with the media. I don't think he'll actually be at the combine, which is kind of a new norm that's happening as well. But they put out a blurb for the hot topic for each team at the combine, and obviously for the Houston Texans, it is CJ Stroud's future and what it is going to be. Now, I don't think anything that's learned necessarily publicly about Stroud is going to change. Like, Nick Caserio is not going to talk. He's going to say good things about CJ. He's going to be asked about him. He's going to say very positive things about CJ, him being the quarterback of the Houston Texans going forward, all the good things he's done, where he can work on, things like that, yada, yada, yada. But behind the scenes will be interesting to see, like, what we hear about the fifth-year option. This is where I feel like we're actually going to learn, if I was going to guess, some kind of nugget will come out of this week of where the Texans are leaning towards with a contract or the fifth-year option. So that, to me, is the most interesting topic for the Texans. But it's pretty low on the list, AJ, of like other things going on in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure. I agree, too. It's also the time you see like potential contract extensions done, too. So, potentially Will Anderson Jr. see something about that for sure. But yeah, no, I mean, it's CJ Stroud is going to continue to be the biggest question around this team going into next season, because, I mean, if he would have played any better in that Patriots game, you can make the argument that y'all would have been in the Super Bowl. So
yeah, it's the Will Anderson. It's a good point. Like, CJ Stroud's the lead story, but the reality is that, because also all the agents are at the combine,
right,
that might be more likely, maybe not hammered out and signed in the next week, but it's not impossible. Like, we've seen players, contract extensions come quickly after the combine. A lot of the groundwork can get done in this week because everyone's together. They're out drinking. They're out having dinners. Like, that's kind of what the combine really is. It's really more like when you're not meeting with players, you're kind of just talking to all the other GMs and figuring out what's going on. I think the most intriguing storyline for me in the NFL, there's a couple players that, like, the trade rumors are hot and cold with them. I think the most intriguing trade candidate that can be either moved this week, or the groundwork is going to be laid this week and we're going to hear a lot about who is interested in them, for me, is a guy that you might be happy is no longer in the Cowboys division, is AJ Brown.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is the most interesting story of all the players that could get moved, of just like what comes out of the combine, because he's a very talented wide receiver, and definitely feels like he's not going to be a member of the Eagles. So who do we learn at the combine this week is interested? What's the team? Do you have any teams in mind? I have a couple for AJ Brown that I would like to see him get traded to if he's not going to be in Philly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, two are like the Bills and the Patriots, those teams. I know also AJ Brown was a Julian Edelman fan. Last week he was on the show or something like that, too. Saying like we're all Patriots and stuff like that, too, trying to tease that. So
interesting.
Yeah, that would be intriguing. But yeah, I mean, those two, and then also with Buffalo, Josh Allen having another outside threat. Obviously, Brandon Bean kind of makes it seem like they don't need a wide receiver one at times. But I mean, when you look at their offense, they definitely could use one.
I 100% agree. Like, those were the top two teams I thought of. The other team that like comes to mind for me is just, look, is he one of those players that's just going to be unhappy wherever he goes? I think it's possible.
Yeah.
But I would wonder if, like, Kansas City would give it any thought of just like, hey, Travis Kelce's on his last year, maybe. Because that is an interesting story. Like, is he going to come back? He's made comments. Andy Reid's made comments. It sure feels like to me Travis Kelce's going to be back with the Chiefs next year. So could they take a flyer on him? It would be another one. The other teams that like could be of interest, like I just don't think I would want, if I was those teams' perspective, like if I'm New Orleans, I need another receiver, right?
Yeah.
Is that the situation I want to put around Tyler Shuck? I don't think so. Could Tampa Bay be interested if they're losing Mike Evans? Chris Godwin's getting older. Maybe. They're not going to probably trade him to Washington.
Nah.
Even though that'd be an interesting move. But yeah, I think A.J. Brown's the most is the top story for me. And then I would say, I think that falls quickly with Max Crosby.
I did about to say it too, yeah.
Yeah, like Max Crosby's the guy who, you know, he has to have knee surgery. He wants to play it out the rest of the season. The Raiders tell him no. They send him home. He's pissed. Coach gets fired. They promote his defensive line coach to D.C.
Yeah.
It seems like Kubiak makes that move with the intent of keeping Crosby. He's kind of flirting with other teams.
I think Caleb Williams.
A little bit. But Max Crosby's one where it's just like, it's a big name player of, I don't know why the Raiders would keep him, frankly.
Right.
So like that's probably the next trade candidate of all the guys this weekend. That it's A.J. Brown, Max Crosby, two guys I'm most interested in, of like just what happens through them and what we hear out of the combine.
Yeah, for sure. And then like Max Crosby, for example, if he was traded, he's not going to command as much like Micah Parsons was, two first round picks and a player. So yeah, I mean, like you said, like what's the point of keeping him when you can acquire more assets? Because the Raiders need a lot of work to even be an average team, quite frankly.
So. Yeah. The other one the next storyline for, I don't, do you have any AJ that you're most intrigued by? The next one I have is because like we got reports today that Daniel Jones, that the Colts are working out a contract with him, or they're starting to work on it, which makes sense. Like that was going to be of intrigue to me at the combine, just because obviously you've got a big injury there, but it's his old team that he left. Yeah. I think that we're going to learn a lot about the Minnesota Vikings this week too.
For sure.
About what they're going to do with J.J. McCarthy going forward. Is he going to be a key part of this team for the Vikings going forward? Are they going to try to flip him? Are they going to try to go get Mac Jones? Are they going to go Aaron Rodgers? Like that to me is it's the one quarterback situation that I think is the least complicated that we can learn the most about. Because like the Cardinals and the Dolphins are interesting from an NFL perspective. But what we see those teams do feels like almost impossible to figure out because of the cap situations. Like it makes no sense to me how you can just be like, yeah, just we're going to get rid of them. And then be like, and we're going to try to fifth round pick for some backup quarterback. That's going to be our guy. Like I know Daniel Jeremiah, this isn't, you know, with these two teams, Daniel Jeremiah on his on a media call he did that he does every year. With, you know, he has like all these reporters around the country. It sits down for like 2 hours. It's actually really interesting. If you care about the draft, I highly recommend listening to it. He threw out Davis Mills to the Jets as an option. So like, that's the thing with the Texans too, is like, could there be some Davis Mills chatter with the Vikings, the Dolphins, the Cardinals this week happening at the combine of like, hey, maybe he's not going to be a Texan next year and he's going to be a starter somewhere next year. It's also very interesting to me.
Yeah, that would suck for Houston, though, definitely, after the performance we saw with CJ, and then also how Mills played when CJ was out, too, though. But back to the Vikings, though, yeah, like, it's integral that they figure that part out, because you don't want to further frustrate Justin Jefferson, because, I mean, we know what they did in the 2024 season, even though he lost in the first round, what they did with Sam Darnold and firing their GM after seeing Sam Darnold win a Super Bowl and all that stuff, too. So it's a very pressurized situation there. Obviously, Kevin O'Connell is one of the best coaches in the league, too. But, I mean, ultimately, you have to have the quarterback talent. Because if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you're not going to be relevant. I mean, that's just straight up.
Other things, too, just quickly here before we go to break, that we've learned from the NFL today. Your guy, George Pickens, AJ, franchise tag.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Yeah, I feel fine about it because, I mean, I think the Cowboys, they're kind of trying to do things a little bit differently in terms of moving Bourne, which is a nice change of pace. So, I mean, I think right now they haven't officially placed a tag on him because they're trying to get the deal done first, but if not, then they'll tag him and then try to get it done in that aspect.
And then we found out today that the other guy who's going to get tagged is going to be Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Which isn't surprising. Like, I think it's been largely disappointing, but we saw him come on at the end of the season. But you bring in Kevin Stefanski for a reason. Matt Ryan obviously knows what it's like to play with a great tight end from his time in Atlanta. So, like, I'm not surprised to see Kyle Pitts is going to get the tag. That's going to pay him, like, $15 million a year, roughly, and as they try to work out a long-term deal. So that's the other thing that we'll learn out of the combine this week is who's going to get tagged, who's not. So if you're a Texans fan who is in what Jeremy and I were talking about, the Breece Hall conversation of, like, wanting him to be a Houston Texan, we'll find that out. Someone asked, what do you think about A.J. Brown to Baltimore? I mean, yeah, they need help, too, at wide receiver.
Right. They could draft one, too, though.
That, to me, is one where I wonder the fit. You have to question the personality fit for AJ. Like, it's just like, is he going to be a fit for this team and what they want to do? And, like, how – I just wonder, like, how Lamar would handle that. Because I would be pissed if I was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like, I'm not having my best game. But then this guy's out here reading a book as we're trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, okay. I don't think for Lamar Jackson that's going to go over particularly well if A.J. Brown were to do that in Baltimore for them. But it would be an intriguing fit. Him and Zay Flowers, Derrick Henry. It's kind of like an all-or-nothing type move for the Ravens as they also try to figure out Lamar Jackson contract because their owner has said that he wants to get that done before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to worry about that. But remember, you're negotiating with Lamar's mom as his agent.
That's true.
Good luck with that one. All right, we'll take our final break here. When we get back, we'll get to our Junkie of the Day. We'll do that next year, and we'll answer your final questions on the text line on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie. Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like I'm some kind of speed junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
All right, junkie of the day. Before we get to that,
junkie,
one quick text. Do you think the running back Love will be a good fit for the Saints or a good pro in general? Yes. Jeremiah Love's going to be awesome for sure. Daniel Jeremiah put out his most recent mock draft, had him going, I think it was to the Saints at 8. It might have been to the Chiefs at 9. And he highlights this play where it's a 95-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. And look, there's great blocking. Okay, it's a 5-6-yard game. It would have been a touchdown and 2-end touch because of how elusive he is. He's a great running back. I think he's a stud. He's can't miss for me.
And as a pass catcher, too.
And a pass catcher. Like, I think he's very, very, very good. So, yeah, he would be a great fit for the Saints if you were drafted. I hope he doesn't get drafted to the Chiefs because I like rooting for Notre Dame players in the NFL. I don't want to, like, root for the Chiefs at all. So I'm pulling for the Saints to steal that one. I saw him going 4 to the Titans in one mock draft recently. Like,
that's a stretch.
I just don't know why the Titans would draft a running back when they need help so many other places. Right. Like, I'm fine with drafting a running back in the first round if you think it helps solve your problems. But taking one at 4 when you're the Titans feels like a, I don't know, big mistake. You need help pretty much, I don't know, everywhere on your roster. Like, let's start with wide receiver. Like, take Cardinal Tate at 4.
Yeah.
That's fine. All right, junkie of the day. AJ, you want to lead us off today?
But I don't know. I kind of feel bad about saying this one, but I'm going to just say it. So, Michael B. Jordan was receiving an award yesterday.
Okay.
And I guess the guy with Tourette's, he had said the N-word. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know the context of this.
Yeah.
Because I've seen people tweet about it. So I have questions. Was it a white guy?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Was it live?
Yeah, it was live. You can hear it, too. Like, you can look up on Twitter and just, you can hear it.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Like, look, it's hard to... It happens.
Yeah.
You have Tourette's? That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough. Okay, I missed that. I saw these people tweeting about it. I was like, what happened? Now that makes sense. That's a good nomination for Junkie today. You don't have to feel... I get why you feel bad, but it's a good nomination. So I didn't update the Google Doc yet for mine from Friday. So I'm just going to continue it because I nominated on Friday Floyd Mayweather for announcing he's coming back. Well, here's the thing. now we got his first real fight. His first professional fight since facing Conor McGregor. It's going to be on Netflix. And it's Mayweather-Pacquiao too. Why? Why are we doing this?
Money. That's why.
Like, if you're going to fight, can you fight someone younger than you? And, like, give me some intrigue? Like, why don't you Mayweather-Pacquiao 2 10 years later?
Exactly.
I get why they're doing it. They're going to make a lot of money. A bunch of suckers are going to watch. But I just don't know how much money, like, I haven't quite figured out the Netflix model yet with live sports. Mm. Like, how much money they gain. Like, I feel so like WWE Raw tonight will be on Netflix. Anyone that watches Raw is just getting Netflix because it's on there every single Monday.
Yeah.
How many people are getting Netflix just to watch this fight and then keeping it that don't already have Netflix? I don't get it. But this fight is what I don't understand. Why are we... Why? Like, if you're going to give me a Mayweather comeback tour, give me something like someone younger to, like, give him a chance to lose, I guess.
Right.
But, like, I mean, maybe Pacquiao could beat him. They're both going to be in, like, their 50s at this point.
Literally.
It's like, okay. All right. Just so we don't, you know, the winner doesn't be someone with threats. We'll say Floyd Mayweather wins Junkie of the Day. That will do it for our show today. Jeremy will be back tomorrow. We'll see if he does a full 3 days of work. I think he will. Brian will not be back with us tomorrow. He'll rejoin the show on Wednesday. Sorry, Twitchers. But that will do it for us today. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. ESPN National up next. Enjoy the rest of your day. Peace.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.